My name is Thabo Sholemashao. You're on 702. I'm standing in for Clement. We're together till 12. And in this segment, we want to focus on coalition governments, and because it appears as though it's going to be a reality in various provinces, at least. This is according to the pollsters and political analysts. The results may suggest otherwise, but as far as projections are concerned, a number of provinces and possibly nationally, we might for the very first time see their governing party go under 50%. If that happens, are we ready for the transition and for a newly newly established way of government through coalitions at national level for South Africa? Is democracy maturing and pushing us to consider these possibilities? There was a proposal to strengthen coalition governments in South Africa by My Vote Counts, and Joel Breckman, senior researcher at My Vote Counts, joins us right now to speak about these various proposals to strengthen coalition governments. Joel, thanks for your time. Welcome to 702.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Joel, maybe let's start perhaps right at the beginning by suggesting, is this a sign of a maturing democracy when we are now in South Africa 30 years into a democratic dispensation? Is it a sign of this element of democracy to even consider coalition at a national government sphere?
Sure. So let's just put this in some perspective. You know, coalitions at the moment have this reputation, for being this new incarnation of politics. But we've had coalition governments at the local level for the past two decades and more. So it's not something necessarily new. Of course, when you speak about it at the provincial and national level, it does open up other sort of dynamics. In terms of, you know, if South Africa, if we are sort of a maturing democracy as we move towards coalitions, I think this is a natural progression that happens when sort of a dominant governing party is seeing its power waning and you have an opening up of the political space. From what we've seen at the local level over the past few years, especially since 2016, I would say, is that we don't always have the type of mature approach to politics that we would like. And that some of the coalitions have fallen apart, not because coalition government in and of itself is problematic, but because of the parties, the people involved who are in it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, I mean, in our experience, especially at local level, Joel, we have seen the instability caused by fractious relationships between parties that are in that particular coalition. And the parties would then immediately call for a motion of no confidence against a chosen and agreed mayor in the example that I'm citing. How do we make sure that we deal with that instability and so that it's not dependent on political mood swings?
Sure. So, I mean, I think something which is really key to this is that, you know, we need to move to a space where parties are getting into into a coalition, excuse me, with other parties that, you know, there's a shared vision, a sort of shared approach to how they think the country should be moving. Too often parties are joining in coalitions purely to get the 50 plus one, you know, just to get into power. And when it's premised not on values and outlook and vision, it's not surprising, you know, that things are falling apart. So I think we'll obviously speak more about the proposals, but one of them, which is really, really important, is this idea of the coalition agreement. So political parties need to have something in writing, you know, that sets down their approach. And we need more time for parties to negotiate, to form coalitions, not to be shoved together, you know, in 2 weeks after an election.
And that pre-agreement is very important, and some have also proposed that perhaps it needs to be public, so that those who voted for those particular parties are also privy to their arrangements, and there's nothing untoward, and there are no brown envelopes, so to speak, that are being exchanged under the table. How important is that, and how can that be incorporated into a formal agreement, if not legislation?
Sure. So this is absolutely crucial. And I think there are two sides to this. So from what we've seen, you know, the multi-party charter, which is the most prominent sort of collection of parties, they have issued a pre-election agreement of sorts. I think that in general, most parties don't want to put on paper before an election, you know, who they're necessarily going into a coalition with, because they say it sort of ties their hands. They want more freedom to be able to maneuver after an election to see how they can sort of get the numbers that they want. But we need to center this on the voter, on the public. And how can I go vote for a party that after the election might enter into a coalition with a party that I'm absolutely against? That might lead to my party having to compromise on policies and on proposals, and it waters down and really devalues my vote. So, you know, at My Vote Counts, we always look at things from the perspective of the voter, of the citizen, of the public. And knowing before an election what my party, you know, which parties are potentially going into a coalition with other parties, is a crucial part of the voting calculus. So we're going to be writing to parties, to all parties contesting, asking them to come forward with this information.
011-883-0702, 011-883-0702. My guest is Joel Bregman, senior researcher at My Vote Counts, and we are talking about some proposals that would assist coalitions to work. And I'd love to hear from you listening to this conversation, because this really is dependent upon you entirely. I know of people who have said that they will vote this way nationally, vote this way, that a different way provincially and otherwise, meaning that they are splitting their votes. There's a reason to that. Some people have said that they're not going to vote at all, and some are saying that they will vote for just one party or one independent candidate. I want to hear from you as a voter in South Africa, or someone who's eligible to vote. What would make a coalition government work? Because we've had many calls where some people have said the only way to truly deal with South African governance system, especially fighting corruption, would be considering coalition governments where one is held accountable by their peers at that political and government level. I want to hear from you, as someone who's going to cast your vote on May the 29th. What do you think will make the coalitions work? What do you expect from coalitions, if at all you want coalitions? That's if you want coalitions at all. What would make them work? We've seen them collapse, and we've heard some of you still complaining that, but they are collapsing, they are not working. This week we have a new mayor, next week we have a different one. How will that help? How will that assist us nationally? So I'd love to hear from you. And that same, perhaps, Joel, the very same question. I understand that it's very ambiguous, but allow me to send it right to you. What are some of the ingredients of a good coalition government or coalition partners in government?
Sure. So I think something to consider is that coalitions seem to have quite a negative reputation at the moment. But if we put things in some context, you know, there are municipalities in South Africa which are run by coalition, which do work. And then there are municipalities which, you know, which are run by a single party, which is to experience problems with service delivery, with governance, you know, with maladministration. So I think, yeah, we just need to keep on reminding ourselves that the coalitions aren't, you know, doomed to fail, and that we need to think outside the box on that. In terms of, you know, what would make sort of a more conducive environment for coalition. So if I can maybe speak to some of the proposals. And just to be clear, these aren't our proposals. These are the main proposals circulating in society, which have been developed by government, or proposed by government, by political parties, by academia, civil society, etc. So in terms of the proposals that My Vote Counts is supporting, and there are seven of them at the moment. So the first is around the coalition agreements being made public. And I know we've mentioned it before, but I'll keep on speaking about this because I think it is really crucial. All of our work is around, you know, the creating a more informed, providing information for people to exercise their vote from a more informed position. And so having these coalition agreements made public before elections is absolutely crucial. Then there's something else around, at the moment, there's only a two-week period at the municipal level after the election for government to be established. And what this often forces is, you know, it forces parties, so when there isn't a single winner in that election, it forces parties into agreement sometimes where they need more time. So, and that, people have said, is often one of the reasons why coalitions have been falling apart, because not enough time is and thought is given in their actual establishment, and they're just sort of cobbled together. And then there's also another proposal around insulating the public service from changes in coalition government. So there's a fixation at the moment on coalition stability, right? But politics doesn't always have to be necessarily stable. It, you know, if the public service is working right, there can be a change in government without service delivery falling apart. But unfortunately, because there's too much of a relationship between the two at the moment, and too much power sometimes that pushes you know, public servants around, that we do see these failings. So another proposal is around
Let's hold it there for a second, only because I need to take a break, and I want us to come back and touch on those. And that relationship is very important, because all of a sudden you'd see a break in service delivery, a rollout, especially at a rapid pace, and because that marriage is there, whether we like it or not. You're on 702, and my guest is Joel Brackman.
702, reflecting on 20 years of changing lives and building better communities, live from Buffalo City Stadium. Let's walk the talk.
Let's walk the talk indeed. 011-883-0702. If you've just joined us, we're speaking to the senior researcher at My Vote Counts, Joel Brackman, and we're looking at proposals to help stabilize coalitions, coalition governments, as they have been potentially been thrown forward to that by the end of, after the elections, we might have a number of coalition governments in various provinces and possibly nationally. John is calling us from Kempton Park. Hey, John.
Thomas, good morning. What a good show, and your guest.
Morning, Thomas, John. Thank you.
Thomas, there's no way in which coalition government can work in our country. Coalition government is obsolete. We've got a trend of being controlled by stomach politics. Remember, it's the numbers that work. And people are working on opportunities within the coalition government so that they can fit themselves and forget about the interest of the country and the vulnerables, as well as those who are desperate. There's nothing that will work with the coalition government. And they have learned from themselves, and they are learning from each other, to manipulate the power. Because once you've got more numbers, you've got the power. You can do whatever you want to do. And you can jump from one ship to another without tainting your image. So there's nothing that is going to work. They can put whoever professor can come in and run the coalition government. It's not going to work.
John, thanks very much for your input. Jewel? I'm sure you have a different view to this.
I mean, I understand that perspective, and you know, in the current situation, it would be it's understandable that that there's a sense, you know, the coalitions aren't always working. But I mean, we can't escape the reality that coalitions have been and are going to be a very persistent feature of our politics, you know, for the foreseeable future. We have to find ways of strengthening them, and we can't, you know, we recognize that things won't change overnight, that we need to, you know, a new approach, a more mature approach to our politics, change in political culture, things we've been speaking about, you know, for many, many years now, it seems. But we can't just, you know, shake our hands and say that that there's nothing you can do. I agree that, you know, coalition politics does open opportunities for parties to, you know, to seek power, to seek patronage, to, you know, have access to tenders and things like that. But we have to look at it from a forward-looking way and try and look at solutions.
Yeah. Jill, perhaps you may choose not to respond to this, and you can argue that, hey, that's not why I'm on the show, Thabo, and I'm happy to take that on the chin. But to what extent do coalitions in government have an impact on intra-party stability? Because at times those in the lead to negotiate coalitions may be in contrast with the sentiments that are expressed on the ground or by an ordinary member or even those in the lower rung of a respective party's political leadership. In that sense, maybe let me make a very clear example. I mean, we know that, for instance, in Gauteng, Panyaza Lesufu was playing a very crucial role in negotiating some of the fragile coalition local governments that we have seen. And various structures of the ANC argued that let's rather sit in opposition parties than bend to the conditions of some parties in this coalition. Let's sit it out, go to the benches. But the leadership would be arguing different at a strategic level. How would you respond to that?
Yeah, there's been a sort of ongoing tussle and to and fro, for a top-down approach where national structures will sort of instruct, you know, on what basis local levels can even form into coalitions, and very often they're so removed from the particular, you know, particular nature of that municipality that it doesn't seem to make any sense, that approach. I think we need a more sort of localized approach to those sort of issues.
Yeah, and by way of example, we've also seen that with the DA, the former mayor Mpopa Latse has also bemoaned that National was somehow out of touch with the realities on the ground, and if these were left up to her, she could have negotiated a better deal then. And how then do we also socialize a voter about the deliberateness perhaps of their choice to put in a government that would be as a result of a coalition?
Sorry, I'm not sure what I mean. What do you mean?
Yeah. No. I'm just thinking someone who's going to vote on May 29th may be thinking that, listen, I would prefer a coalition government because I don't trust my very own party on its own as much as I love it. I think they would need to be watched over by someone else. In that instance, is there a way of perhaps putting socially some sort of voter education to the effect that may empower a voter to align those decisions accordingly?
It's going to be very difficult to in terms of like strategic voting to figure out the what it might take to get your party in, but not to the extent that, you know, that they are going to win outright. I think there's something to be said for just general voter education around coalition politics, you know, and the sort of though it has been in place, we are entering a new era. You know, the number of coalitions is dramatic. It's like one in every three municipalities is now in coalition government.
Yeah. Jill, how do we get hold of my vote counts, your organization?
Sure, thanks. So you can check out our website, myvotecounts.org.za. We're also on Twitter and Facebook and TikTok.
Thanks very much, Joel Breckman, senior researcher at My Vote Counts.